Lokasya mitya bimatera changsuksai chiram prasuptasya tamasya nashaye srantasya karmashvanu vidhayadiya tvam avirasi kila yoga bashkaraha. My dear Lord, you are just like the sun, for you illuminate the darkness of the conditional life of the living entities. Because their eyes of knowledge are not open, they are sleeping eternally in that darkness without your shelter. And therefore they are falsely engaged by the actions and reactions of their material activities, and they appear to be very fatigued. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It appears that Srimati Devahuti, the glorious mother of Lord Kapiladev, is very compassionate for the regrettable condition of people in general, who, not keeping their goal of life, are sleeping in the darkness of illusion. It is the general feeling of the Vaishnava, or devotee of the Lord, that he should awaken them. Similarly, Devahuti is requesting her glorious son to illuminate the lives of the conditioned souls so that their most regrettable conditional life may be ended. The Lord is described herein as Yoga Bhaskara, the son of the system of all yoga. Devahuti has already requested her glorious son to describe Bhakti Yoga, and the Lord has described Bhakti Yoga as the ultimate yoga system. Bhakti Yoga is the sun-like illumination for delivering the conditioned souls, whose general condition is described here. They have no eyes to see their own interests. They do not know that the goal of life is not to increase the material necessities of existence, because the body will not exist for more than a few years. The living beings are eternal, and they have their eternal need. If one engages only in caring for the necessities of the body, not caring for the eternal necessities of life, then he is part of a civilization whose advancement puts the living entities in the darkest region of ignorance. Sleeping in that darkest region, one does not get any refreshment, but rather gradually becomes fatigued. He invents many processes to adjust this fatigued condition, but he fails and thus remains confused. The only path for mitigating this fatigue and the struggle for existence is the path of devotional service, or the path of Krishna consciousness. Om Akyante Midandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapatantikam. Devahuti by dint of her pure devotion attracted the Supreme Personality of Godhead to take birth as her own son. Here we see the quality in her heart that attracted the Lord to reciprocate with her in such an intimate way. She is a selfless servant. Her heart grieves to see the suffering of the conditioned souls. Srimad Bhagavatam explains that the greatest service one can render to the Lord is to take all risks, even endure great pain, to show compassion to others. The quality of an actual Vaishnava is they are paradukaduki. Their suffering is to see the suffering of others. And actually, we can evaluate to what extent we are actually becoming Krishna conscious by this simple principle. How are we actually imbibing this mood of a Vaishnava? Is my suffering due to the frustrations and anxieties of my own body and mind? Or is my suffering more and more connected to the suffering of the conditioned souls? His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, he felt this great suffering in his heart. It is the suffering that all of our previous acharyas passed down in disciplic succession. That of compassion for those who are forgetful of Krishna. The source of all misery is that the eternal soul have forgotten his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus must wander birth after birth after birth in a world of birth, old age, disease, and death. It was for this reason that the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends into this world again and again. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanaradaya sambhavami yuge yuge. The Lord has no business in this material world. We are all forced by our previous karmic desires to accept birth after birth. But the Lord appears simply out of his mercy to deliver the fallen souls, to attract them back to his eternal abode. In this age of Kali, the Lord appears in his most munificent, merciful of all incarnations, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauradveshe Namaha. To deliver what no other incarnation has ever given, pure devotional service to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna in the land of Vrindavan, to everyone and anyone, without discriminating who is fit or who is unfit. The only qualification is with faith. We accept shelter at their lotus feet and accept this Yuga Dharma of the congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord Chaitanya, after taking initiation from Srila Ishvara Puripad in Gaya, returned to Navadvip to inaugurate the Harinam Sankirtan movement. the devotees. They were praying and weeping that Nimai Pandit would become a devotee. He was so very beautiful, so charming in every way, so extraordinarily learned. If only this Nimai Pandit will become a Vaishnav, he can make the whole world dance in the kirtan of the holy name. When the Lord manifested ecstatic love of Krishna, like no one in creation had ever seen, the devotees' hearts were full of bliss. In fact, throughout the day, the only business of all the Vaishnavas were simply to have kirtan with Lord Chaitanya. They would chant, they would dance, they would speak the glories of Krishna. And with intimate love, they would serve one another. But they were not satisfied with this. Although they were experiencing the ultimate ecstasies of the spiritual world, still, their hearts were mourning to see how Maya was cheating the general populace of this great treasure of Krishna Prema. One day, Lord Chaitanya told his devotees that we are chanting all day, but at night we are wasting, sleeping. Human life is so rare. Every moment of human life is more precious than anything in all of creation. From this day on, no more sleep. We will continue the kirtan throughout the entire night. Hare Krishna. We tried that here in Pune. And I see many of you are falling asleep in class this morning. But when the devotees heard this from Lord Chaitanya, the only thing that could come from their hearts was Harivo! And from that day on, for the next full year, they performed Harinam Sankirtan throughout the day and throughout the night. It is explained that the people in general, they were not allowed in the house of Srivas Pandit, because these kirtans were very, very intimate. And the transformations of ecstatic love that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was manifesting, an ordinary person cannot understand. And even the love of the devotees was incomprehensible for even a neophyte devotee. Only a paramahamsa could accommodate what was going on in that house every night. So they would lock the doors and lock the windows. And the blasphemers, they would hear this chanting. They were furious. This Nimai Pandit, he has become mad. And now he's made Srivas Thakur mad. All night they're just chanting. What are they chanting? According to the Shastras, these mantras should be recited silently within the heart. But they're screaming. They're just a bunch of poor beggars, just screaming. We know what they do. During the day, they put tantric spells on young women. They kidnap them, bring them to the house at night, and then they give them various tantric potions to intoxicate them. They themselves are utterly intoxicated, and they engage in the most illicit, unmentionable activities. And because we are pure-hearted, righteous Brahmins, they will not allow us to come in, because then they will be exposed. Let us take this house of Srivas and throw it in the Ganga. These were just a few of the horrible blasphemies that were coming about. One night, a very learned Brahmin came to the home of Srivas Thakur. He knocked on the door, but Mahaprabhu would not allow anyone to answer that door. He was screaming, "Let me in! I am Brahmin! I command you, allow me to come in this house!" But the devotees, they didn't care what anyone said. They were simply dancing in ecstasy, gazing on the beautiful moon-like face of Sri Gauranga, chanting the holy name. This Brahmin was furious. The next day, Lord Chaitanya went to take his bath in the Ganga. He happened to see that Brahmin on the banks of Ganga. The Brahmin, his eyes were red with rage. His body was trembling with anger. "Nimai Pandit! You did not allow me to come in that house." Uncontrollably, he broke his Brahmin thread. "I curse you that because you left me standing outside of that house, that you will be left outside of your house, and you will never be allowed to enjoy family life again." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled. He said, "This curse is a great boon upon me. Thank you very much." When he said this, he also enlightened that Brahmin's heart with transcendental knowledge. The Brahmin cried out, "What did I just do? Why did I say that? You are the super soul of all living entities. You made me pronounce this curse. It is your desire, as the Supreme Lord, to take sannyas, to leave your home, to crash open the treasure chest of pure love of God, and to distribute it throughout the entire land, through the congregational chanting of the holy names. You will spread love of Krishna through Harinam Sankirtan to everyone and anyone without discrimination. But I am so unfortunate. I am so offensive that I will not achieve your mercy." Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very lovingly embraced that Brahmin. Upon being embraced, his heart erupted like a volcano with ecstatic love of Krishna. Tears began to pour from his eyes, his limbs trembled, his hair stood on end. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed upon him the greatest of all gifts. Soon after this, Srivas Thakur was sitting with Lord Chaitanya amongst many devotees. He asked him a question, that this Harinam Sankirtan is the Yuga Dharma in this age of Kali. Can you tell me, does the power of the holy name have the same effect in other ages? Tell me, what is the great mystery of Nam Kirtan? Lord Chaitanya replied, that in the age of Satya, one can achieve Krishna Prema by constantly meditating on his eternal form. In the Treta Yuga, by performing great sacrifices, the same goal can be achieved. In the Dwapara Yuga, by worshipping the deity according to the strict rules and regulations of the scriptures, one can purify one's heart. But in this age of Kali, people are so unintelligent, fallen. Their attention span is so little. It is impossible for them to properly perform any of these procedures. Therefore, out of causeless mercy, Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar, Krishna has descended within his holy name. Thus, in the Kali Yuga, there is only one means of attaining perfection. Harinama, 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 Eva Keva Lamka Lo Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. All the power, all the glory of God Himself is within His name. If one can even once offenselessly chant that holy name, the great concession in this age of Kali, that all of his sins will be removed from all of his previous births, and gradually love of Krishna will awaken in his heart. Therefore, it is the essence of all the Vedas that we should constantly remember Krishna by constantly chanting his holy name. Gaur Kishore Prabhu, please wake up. Hare Krishna. I promised his father I would keep him awake in classes. One day, Lord Chaitanya approached Suklambar Brahmachari. He was a very simple devotee. Suklambar Brahmachari would beg from about 8 to 10 houses every day, taking just little bit of madhukari. He was so simple that no one except the devotees understood that he was an exalted person. The people considered him to be a most ordinary, insignificant beggar. Because the nature of a Vaishnava is for him or herself, doesn't care for any type of prestige, appreciation, doesn't want to be seen as an important person. These are all disturbances. Sometimes a preacher, for the sake of serving others, will perform the austerity of accepting this type of apparent importance. But Suklambar Brahmachari was just seen as an unknown beggar. But he carried the greatest wealth of love of Krishna in his heart. And this will be revealed in this narration. One day, Lord Gauranga told Suklambar Brahmachari that today I am coming to your house for prasad. Please prepare it nicely for me. Suklambar Brahmachari, my lord, what will I prepare for you? I live in a little straw hut on the bank of the Ganga. I have no money. I have nothing. I'm a beggar. And I'm fallen, lowly, and sinful. How can I prepare anything for you? The Lord said, no, I'm coming at noon. Prepare prasad for me. Suklambar Brahmachari didn't know what to do. So he took shelter of the Vaishnavas. What do I do? Help me. They said, the Lord has chosen you to cook for him. You must cook for him. But I'm contaminated. How can I cook for him? The devotee said, if that is your sentiment, then cook without touching anything. But you must cook for the Lord. It is his mercy. So he went out begging, collecting various ingredients, and then he cooked. Wonderful feast without touching anything. He made rice with a very special preparation called garbhakoda. When the Lord appeared in his house, Suklambar Brahmachari very carefully served him. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in ecstasy. Never have I tasted such delicious prasad as that cooked by Suklambar Brahmachari. And you did it all without even touching it. And this garbhakoda, it appears that it has descended from Vaikuntha. Lord Chaitanya, as if he had five mouths, was praising the prasad cooked by Suklambar. After taking prasad along with Lord Nityananda Prabhu and others, the Lord rested in the simple house of Suklambar Brahmachari. Laying next to him was one of his previous students. His name was Vijay. He had the best handwriting in all of Navadvip. Therefore, people called him Vijay the Pen Man. One of the universal principles amongst all sadhus of all sampradayas is to lay on their left side after taking prasad. This transcends all philosophical differences. So they were laying there, and suddenly Vijay felt Lord Chaitanya's hand on his body. He looked at that beautiful golden hand of Lord Gauranga, and suddenly a great miracle took place. Should I tell? On the hand, beautiful, elegant, ornamental rings covered each in one of the Lord's fingers. It looked like all the treasures of Vaikuntha had descended upon the hand of the Lord. Then the Lord's hand began to grow. It was expanding throughout the entire creation. Upon seeing this, Vijay became mad in ecstasy. Then Lord Chaitanya took his hand and put it over Vijay's mouth and said, "Do not tell anyone what you have seen." But he was screaming in ecstasy. He woke every devotee up. For the next 7 days, like a madman, he didn't eat, he didn't sleep, he didn't drink water, he was just screaming, dancing, chanting all around Navadvip, but he wasn't allowed to tell anyone why. Lord Chaitanya would sometimes enter into incredible varieties of ecstatic love. We know that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, who has assumed the sentiment and complexion of Srimati Radharani. To understand the unlimited glories of her love. And all bhakti is part and parcel of Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna. Just as all other incarnations are included within Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna, similarly all the different goddesses of fortune are either portions or plenary portions of Srimati Radharani. And all bhakti within the heart of all living entities is just a fragmental, tiny little particle of the unlimited ocean of the bhakti of Sri Radha. So all the various rasas of ecstatic love are contained within Sri Radha's love. One day, Lord Chaitanya entered into the mood of Lord Balaram. His eyes were rolling as if he was intoxicated. It appeared that a club was resting in his hand. He started crying out, "Varuni, Varuni, bring me Varuni!" The devotees were thinking, where will we find Varuni? Nityananda Prabhu, he brought a pot of water from the holy river Ganga and said, "Here is your Varuni, my lord." The Lord drank it and was satisfied. Another day, Lord Chaitanya was immersed in the sweet mood of the gopis' separation from Krishna. In that mood, he began to cry out, "Vrindavan, Gopi, 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 Gopi!" Repeatedly, time and again, he was screaming out the names of the gopis. One Brahmin student approached the Lord and said, "Nimai, why are you chanting Gopi Gopi? According to the scriptures, if you want to attain piety and liberation, you must chant the name of Krishna. This is bona fide. Where does it say Gopi Gopi? Chant the name of Krishna." He didn't understand the ecstatic move that Lord Chaitanya was in. He was actually in the same mood that Sri Radharani and the gopis were in when Uddhava came to Mathura. You know that story. Through a bumblebee, Sri Radharani was chastising Krishna. She said to that bumblebee, "You are an unreliable messenger of an unreliable master." In that mood, the Lord looked at the student. "Why are you telling me to say Krishna's name? Don't ever say this to me. Who is this Krishna? He is a thief. He steals butter from gopis. He steals gopis' clothes. Not only is a thief, but he's under the control of women. Why you ask me to chant Krishna's name?" The brother of Sugriva, Bali, he hid behind a tree and shot him in the air with an arrow in the back. What fault did Bali have? "You asked me to chant the name of Krishna. Women are supposed to be protected. What did he do to a woman? He cut off her nose and cut off her ears. Suparnaka." Bali Maharaj, simple, loving devotee, he took away everything he had and forced him to go down to the hellish regions. "What will I gain by chanting the name of Krishna? How dare you instruct me in this way?" Then he picked up a stick in great anger to beat the Brahmin. The Brahmin fearfully ran away. The Lord ran after him. Finally, the devotees grabbed the Lord and said, "Please, please, my Lord, stop." The Brahmin just kept running, running and running. Finally, he came to a group of other Brahmin students who were studying. There were thousands of them in one place. And he was perspiring, and he was,
They said, what happened? Oh, you want to know what happened? I will tell you what happened. That Nimai Pandit. He was chanting the name Gopi. I simply instructed him that you should chant the name of Krishna. Then he started blaspheming Krishna. He picked up a stick to beat me. I'm lucky to be alive to see you at this moment. When the Brahmin students heard this, they became outraged. What right does he have to chase a Brahmin? He thinks he could beat one of us. What ego? He thinks he's so important. Well, we are also the sons of Brahmins. We are also learned scholars. He has become mad. He has become insane. If ever he does this again, we will teach him a good lesson. In this way, these mundane materialistic Brahmins started spreading nasty rumors against Lord Chaitanya throughout Navadvip, even planning to beat him. One day, Lord Chaitanya sat with his devotees. He said that the medicine of the name Pipali Khanda has been given to the patients to reduce excess mucus. But I see that this medicine is having the opposite effect. The mucus is increasing. The devotees looked at each other, bewildered. What is the Lord talking about? But one devotee understood Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Upon hearing these words from Sri Gauranga, he was thinking, the Lord will leave home, shave his head, and take sannyas. Lord Nityananda Prabhu's heart was broken. Then Lord Chaitanya took Lord Nityananda to a secluded place, held him by the hand very affectionately, and said, Nitai, you know very well why we descended to this world. We descended to give love of Krishna to the world. We have come to disentangle them from the rope of material bondage. But I see that previously there was one rope, but now there are hundreds and thousands of ropes. The very purpose why I came to this world, the opposite is happening. They are blaspheming me. They are planning to beat me. They are not willing to accept Krishna consciousness. Therefore, you hear what I will do. I will shave my head and put on the saffron robes of the sannyasi. And I will go to beg at the doors of those people who are now threatening to beat me. And because I am a sannyasi, they will offer their obeisances to me. Living in the grihastha order, they are taking me to be an ordinary person. But everyone bows down to a sannyasi. When they bow down to me, they will become liberated. They will hear my message and they will chant the holy names of Krishna.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
Grant me your blessings to take sannyas. Nityananda Prabhu, his heart broke in millions of pieces. he fell to the ground unconscious. He got up. He felt as if he was paralyzed like a piece of stone. He said, "My dear Lord, you are the supreme master of all of creation. You are fully independent. No one can interfere with your sweet will. What you decide to do, you will do. What can I say? But please, discuss this matter with your other devotees, and then you make your decision." The Lord embraced Nityananda Prabhu and said, "Thank you. You have given me your blessings." Uncontrollably, thinking, what will happen to Mother Sachi? His widowed mother, she has no one but the Lord to live for. If he leaves Sachi Devi, it will be impossible for her to remain alive. She will spend her days and nights in agony, suffering separation from him. Thinking of Sachi Devi's sorrow, Nityananda Prabhu fell to the ground crying uncontrollably. Next, Lord Chaitanya went to the house of Mukunda Dutt. He said, "Mukunda, sing kirtan." Mukunda Dutt blissfully began to chant the holy names. Lord Chaitanya, right in his house, began dancing in ecstasy. Mukunda's heart was full of happiness. Then the kirtan ended. Lord Chaitanya, with a beautiful smile on his moon-like face, spoke, "Mukunda, very soon I will shave my head and as a sannyasi, go begging door to door to give Krishna consciousness." Suddenly, all Mukunda's happiness fled to a distant place. Mahaprabhu's words were like a thunderbolt crashing upon his soft heart. Somehow or other, he spoke. He said, "My Lord, you are free to do whatever you desire to do. No one can stop you. Whatever pleases you, you must do. But please stay with us for some more days and let us perform Sankirtan in your association." Next, Lord Chaitanya went to Gadadhar Pandit, walked right up to him and said, "Gadadhar, please hear. I will shave off my head and I will become a sannyasi to beg door to door." Gadadhar, hearing this shocking news, became delirious. "What are you saying? Why? What scripture teaches that a person must give up his household life to become a sannyasi? One can execute all his duties and become perfect in the household ashram. Where do you get this idea from?" Gadadhar, hearing this shocking news, became delirious. "What are you saying? Why? What scripture teaches that a person must give up his household life to become a sannyasi? one can execute all his duties and become perfect in the household ashram. Where do you get this idea from? The first thing you will accomplish if you do this was you will become the cause of the death of your beloved mother, Sachi. What religious principle teaches us to abandon a widowed mother, to abandon a wife who is hardly 14 years old, to cause them to drown in the ocean of separation, to leave home? My Lord, you do as you please. One day, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gathered some of his very intimate devotees together and told them that he had a dream. In this dream, an effulgent, illustrious Brahmin appeared to him and whispered the sannyas mantra in his ear. Lord Chaitanya said, "The power of that mantra is transforming my life." A few days after this, a very great sannyasi, who it is said was a disciple of Sri Madhavendra Puri, came to Navadvip. His name was Keshava Bharati Maharaj. Can you turn this louder, please? Keshav Bharati Maharaj, he was a great Vaishnava. When Lord Chaitanya met him, he fell at his lotus feet, offered him all respects, and told him within his heart it was his desire to take sannyas from him. Keshav Bharati Maharaj, upon seeing the beauty of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was simply struck with wonder. Lord Chaitanya begged him, "Please give me service to Lord Krishna." They spoke on this subject for some time. Then Lord Chaitanya took Keshav Bharati to the house of Srivas Pandit and requested Srivas Pandit to take care of him. For one day and one night, Keshav Bharati stayed at the house of Srivas, where he was fed wonderful prasad and given wonderful, wonderful hospitality. The next day, he left. Understanding what was taking place, the intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya lamented, fearing the imminent, that the Lord of our life will leave us, never to return. Seeing the lamentation of the devotees, who were discussing amongst themselves this horrible fate, Lord Chaitanya spoke to them. He said, "I will take sannyas to teach the world pure Krishna consciousness. Please do not lament. Just like a mercantile person will travel to many distant lands to gain treasures. But what will he do with that treasure? He will come and back and share it with his family and make them rich. You are my family members. I will become a sannyasi. I will travel throughout the lands. I will go to Vrindavan. I will gain the great treasure of love of Krishna, and then I will come back to distribute it to all of you." When When Srivas Pandit heard this, weeping and sorrow, he said, "No, my lord. You may want to maintain us and share your treasure with us. But if you leave, there will be no one to share it with, because we will not remain alive. Without your association, we will die. Who will you share your treasure of love of Krishna with?" Then Mukunda spoke with tears streaming from his eyes. He said, "My lord, the words you speak are setting an immense fire within my heart. I cannot tolerate it. I am praying. Why do I live? Why my heart is burning, but my life air does not leave me? How cruel is destiny?" Murari Gupta, he revealed his heart to the Lord. "All of these years, Lord Gauranga, you have planted the tree of devotional service in our heart, and you have carefully been watering it by your association. At this particular time, the tree is fully grown. The fruits are growing. And now you want to take an axe and cut that tree down. We don't want any treasure. We only want you. There is nothing in the entire world we desire except your association, my lord. Please do not leave us. But ultimately, you will do what pleases you." Lord Chaitanya told them that just as you are being tormented by the feelings of imminent separation from me, my heart is feeling unlimited torment in my separation from Krishna. In that separation from Krishna, even the sight of my mother is like a raging fire. Even your words appealing to me, hearing them is like drinking poison. There is no life without Krishna. Human existence has no meaning without Krishna. This whole entire world is like a dreary void without Govinda. I will not leave you. Birth after birth after birth, we will be together. I promise you, performing the Sankirtan of the holy names. To teach Krishna consciousness to the world, I will become a sannyasi. Do not lament. Little by little, this rumor was circulating throughout Navadvip. When it reached the ears of Sachimata, she fell to the ground unconscious. She was running around the whole city of Navadvip, crying out to everyone she saw, "Is it true? Is what I hear true? Is my son going to leave me?" One day, Sachimata approached her beloved son. Please hear what she spoke. "O Gauranga, do not leave me. I am hearing these rumors. Please, please, do not leave me. Gazing at your beautiful face is the only thing in all of creation that keeps me alive. Your beautiful eyes are like the petals of a full-bloomed lotus flower. Your face is like the full golden moon. Your teeth are like rows of pearls. Your lips like the red bimba fruit. Your words are like streams of nectar. When you walk, it is with the charming gait of an elephant. How will I live without you? How much you love your devotees. Please, stay with them. Be happy. There is Nityananda Prabhu. There is Mukunda, Murari Gupta, Srivas, Kolavecha Sridhar, Advaitacharya. They have nothing to live for except you. If you leave this place, they will all perish. Please, my son, remain at home. Be happy with your devotees, dancing and chanting the holy names. You have descended to establish religious principles in this world. What religious principle teaches to abandon a widowed mother who is old and helpless? What religious principle teaches to abandon a poor wife? So young, helplessly dependent on you. Please, my Lord, my eldest son has already left to take sannyas. My husband has died. You're the only thing and the only one I have left to live for. Please do not leave. Enjoy Sankirtan with your Nityananda. The story of Sachi Mata is one of the greatest tragedies in religious history, but it is the tragedy of ecstatic love. When she was younger, she gave birth to 8 beautiful daughters. Each and every one of them died. Now, you ladies, you know, when you carry a child in your womb for 9 months, when you see the beauty of that little baby, how much your hearts melt with parental affection. To us sannyasis and brahmacharis, when we see an infant baby, it doesn't even look human. It looks like some sort of a big raisin all shriveled up. But yet to the mother, that infant child is the most beautiful thing in all of creation. At least that's what I'm told. Is that true, mothers? If it's true, say Hari Bol. Eight daughters, soon after birth, died. In great sorrow, Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi worshipped Lord Vishnu for a child. And then the beautiful Vishwarup was born. An expansion of Lord Nityananda Balaram himself, reservoir of all good qualities. He charmed the hearts of all. But when he was just a teenager, his parents decided, let us get him married to establish him nicely in household life. Without speaking anything to anyone, he left home for the forest to take sannyas. Sachi Devi and Jagannath Mishra, all they could do was fall to the ground, weeping and crying in separation from their son. And then, shortly after that, Jagannath Mishra contracted a high fever, and on the bank of the holy river Ganges, he left his body to return to the spiritual world. The only thing she had left was her Nimai. He was just a boy, a student. She raised him as a single mother. She lived for him and him alone. It is said that her motherly love for Nimai was so great that if she didn't see him for even a half hour, she would go mad in separation. She did anything and everything for him. And on this day, she has come to learn that her Nimai will leave her. Lord Chaitanya spoke to Sachi Devi. He said, my dear mother, we are never apart. Birth after birth after birth, you are my mother. In the past, your name was Prishni, and I took birth as your son of the name Prishni Garba. Then you became Aditi, and I took birth as your son Vamanadev. You became Devahuti, and I was your child Kapiladev. In your next birth, you were Kaushalya, and I appeared as your beloved son, Sri Ramchandra. And you do not remember, but I do. In your next birth, you were Devaki, living in the prison house of Kamsa. In that place, I became your child, Krishna. And in this birth, I have appeared again as your son. You are the earth goddess, and from you, all the deity forms of the Lord become your child. You have manifested yourself, my mother, from the earth. You are the goddess of the earth. Therefore, you give birth to everyone's tongues. And I take birth again from you whenever my devotees chant my holy names. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his divine form of Shamsundar to Sachi Devi. However, although she was somewhat pacified momentarily, her motherly affection completely drowned any conception that the Lord is anything but her own son. Sachi Devi was lamenting uncontrollably. when Vishnupriya saw Sachi Devi's condition, she became like a madwoman. She fell unconscious. She lost all composure. One night, when the Lord was in his bedroom, Vishnupriya, with her heart broken in unlimited pieces, approached him. She clasped his lotus feet and placed them on her heart. She was weeping and weeping. She could not even speak. Lord Chaitanya asked, "My dear Vishnupriya, why do you cry like this?" But she was speechless. But the power of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that he can perform any miracle he so desires. He can make the most beautiful flower grow out of a piece of stone. With the same potency, he gave the power of speech to Vishnupriya, who was utterly speechless. "I have heard that you are going to leave me, that you are going to renounce your home to become a sannyasi. My heart is broken. In fact, within my heart is a blazing fire. I cannot survive. I am lamenting that I am alive. My whole life is for you. Whatever I speak is only for you. Every motion of my body is only to please you. My eyes only long to see you. My ears only long to hear your voice. Whatever beauty and youthfulness I have is only for you, my Lord. If you leave me, my entire life will be as useless as a pile of wretched ashes. Your lotus feet are so soft that I fear even touching them with my tender hands. How will I bear thinking of you wandering through the wild, dangerous jungles with your bare feet?" A sannyasi has to live such a simple and austere life. How will we survive thinking of the torrents of monsoon rains falling upon you, the scorching heat of the sun, the freezing chills of the winter? Why? Why do you want to throw me away? Why do you want to kill your own widowed, helpless mother? You have your devotees. They will perish. Please stay with them. Do not leave. I am thinking in my heart, my Lord, that you're leaving because of me. That you think that I am Maya, and my charm and my love is binding you to the material world. My Lord, if this is in your mind, that I am the cause of your material attachments as your wife, then on this very day, I will gaze upon your beautiful face, and I will drink poison and take my life. And you, my Lord, then you can remain home with your devotees, happily chanting the holy names."
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
Lord Chaitanya, hearing her words, began to weep. He said, "My dear, in this world, Maya keeps everyone in illusion. There is only Krishna. He is the only one true reality. In this world, there is nothing but illusion everywhere. The only truth is Krishna and the Vaishnavas. Who is our mother? Who is our father? Our children, our wife, our husbands? These are all misconceptions. They are all temporary dreams. The only true relationship the soul has with anyone is with Krishna." When a man and a woman come together, the seed of life is planted within the womb of the mother. Then it emulsifies and it becomes a child. When the child is born, the child, under the power of Maya, forgets Krishna. Although attaining this rare human life, the ego of this person grows bigger and bigger and bigger due to Maya, developing so many relationships with family members, friends, and loved ones. But then that person grows old. Senses become dysfunctional. Body is racked with pain. The person becomes utterly useless. And even his own loved ones see him as nothing more than a useless burden. And then that person dies, forgetting Krishna. Life is wasted. Please know, your name is Vishnupriya. You are very dear to Lord Vishnu. Always keep your heart fixed in remembering Lord Krishna. Constantly chant his holy names. Then the Lord manifested before the eyes of Vishnupriya his forearm form of Lord Vishnu. Although seeing this form, still she could not conceive of him as anything but her beloved husband. Lord Chaitanya very gently, with a heart full of compassion, told her that, "I promise you this, whenever you think of me within your heart, I will appear before you. I will never leave you alone." Upon hearing these words, Vishnupriya replied, manifesting the true essence of bhakti, "You are the supreme independent Lord of all of creation. Whatever pleases you is what must be done. Whatever makes you happy, my Lord, you please do that. I will not do or speak anything to be an obstruction to that." This is bhakti. Whatever pleases the Lord, that is our happiness. Even if it breaks our heart, even if it immerses us in an ocean of suffering, even if it is the most difficult, painful thing in all of creation to do, we will do it if it pleases the Lord. That is bhakti. The past 2 days we've been hearing from Jamuna Devi Prabhu, Vishakha Prabhu, and Malati Prabhu about their incredible surrender to Srila Prabhupada. Performing activities that were impossible for them to conceive of. Accepting any condition of life in any place to please Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. And in doing so, they derived the greatest happiness of their life. This is bhakti. This was the spirit of Vishnu Priya. If it pleases you, my Lord, to leave us and take sannyas, then let no one stop you. That fateful day was approaching. Lord Chaitanya took Nityananda Prabhu to a secluded place and told him that very soon the sun will enter into the northern direction, Makara Sankranti. At that auspicious time, I will renounce the world and become a sannyasi. I will go to Kantaka Nagara, and there I will approach Keshav Bharati. 5 people should know about this and meet me there. Yourself, Gadadhar, Mukunda, Chandrasekhar, and Jagadananda Pandit. Lord Nityananda Prabhu became stunned. Every day, Lord Chaitanya would have Sankirtan with his devotees. Then he would go to the river Ganga, take his bath, bow down and worship her, sit on her banks, meditating on Krishna, and then return home. On the auspicious occasion of Lakshmi Puja, which is a great festival celebrated in Bengal, it is the tradition that people give each other gifts. On that particular day, which was to be the last day the Lord would remain in Navadvip, he became like a transcendental magnet, attracting all of his devotees to come to him. Thousands of devotees were coming to his home. Each one would offer him a garland. Then they would decorate his body with sandalwood pulp. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in return, he embraced those devotees with such love and affection, placed a garland of flowers upon their bodies with his own hands, and decorated each limb with chandan. There was such supernaturally intimate loving affection in that day. He was filling the devotees' hearts with ecstatic love. And then he told them that you should constantly chant the name of Krishna. When you come together, you should only speak about Krishna. You must worship Krishna day and night, wherever you may be, at all times. Worship Krishna. Chant his holy names. If you actually love me, you will follow these instructions. The entire day passed, and he sent all of his devotees home with this message. Then it was night, and the last guest appeared at his door. It was Sridhar Kolavecha. He came with a pumpkin that had grown on the thatched roof of his house and presented it to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was thinking, it's late at night. I'm leaving on this very day. But I cannot refuse the gift of such a loving devotee as Sridhar. At that moment, another guest came to the house with a pot of milk. Lord Chaitanya told Sachi Devi, please take this pumpkin and cook it with milk to make pumpkin kheer and offer it to the deity of Vishnu. Let us speak something about Kolavecha Sridhar. In all of Navadvip, except for a few devotees, no one even knew his name. They simply called him Kolavecha because he would sell different parts of banana trees. He would sell the leaves for plates. He would personally make cups out of those leaves. He would sell bananas, banana flowers, banana roots, banana bark. He was as honest as Maharaj Yudhisthira. He would always give the bare minimum price that he can survive with. Never bargained, never cheated, never told a lie. Prabhupada told us that in business, you practically have to lie. For you, I make no profit. But everyone knows you're making a profit. But Kolavecha Sridhar, he was so simple. Because of his principles, he was in destitute poverty. And whatever little money he made, before using anything for himself or his family members, he would take half of it to worship Ganga Devi, knowing her to be a great devotee of Lord Krishna. In the spirit of the servant of the servant of the servant. Lord Chaitanya would come to Sridhar's house every single day. This was before he revealed his Sankirtan Leela. When he was the scholar Nimai Pandit, he concealed his true identity. But each day he would come and spend minimum 2 hours arguing with Kolavecha Sridhar about the price of his bananas. What is the price of this banana? He would, fair price. Nimai would say, I will give you half. My dear Brahman, I'm not cheating. This is the fair price. If you don't like my price, then go to another banana seller. I know a good supplier when I have one. I will not go anywhere else. I will take it. I will take it and give you nothing. And Kolavecha, he would just look at the beauty of Nimai and his heart would melt. Yes, no cost, you take these bananas. Lord Chaitanya would say to him, do you know who I am? He said, yes, you are a Brahmin. No, I am a cowherd boy. Sridhar didn't understand this. Then the Lord continued, not only that, that the holy sacred river Ganga that you worship, she emanates from my lotus feet. She worships me, and all her power that she gains to purify the world comes from me. Sridhar would cover his ears. Vishnu, 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 what are you saying? It is said that as a child grows older, he becomes more sober. But I see with every day you grow older, you're becoming more and more restless. Have you no respect for the river Ganga? One day, Lord Chaitanya said to Sridhar, so many people here in Navadvipa are worshipping Durga Devi, Manasa Devi, Chandrika Devi. And we see they have good food, they have nice houses, they have good clothes. Look at you. You worship Krishna. Why do you worship Krishna? What has he done for you? Look at your house. It's a thatched hut. There's more holes in the roof than roof. And look at your clothes. There's so many holes, you can't even afford thread. You just tie knots. There's more knots than there is clothes. And look at your body. It's emaciated because you don't eat properly. What is Krishna giving you? Kulavecha Sridhar replied that, my Lord, I am happy. I do not desire anything. In my life, I have seen that there is the king. He lives in a beautiful palace, wearing beautiful wardrobes, decorated with costly ornaments. He eats fine, luxurious foods. And then I see a bird in the tree. He lives in a little nest made out of grass. And he has no other clothes but his own feathers. And he just goes tree to tree, eating some little berry. But I see that in the passing of time, there's no difference. And the king. They are all simply reaping the results of their previous activities. And ultimately, everything of this world is perishable. I'm happy just chanting the holy names of Krishna. Lord Gaurasundar, he said to Kulavecha Sridhar that I know that you have a great treasure that you are hiding, pretending to be a poor man. Kulavecha Sridhar, no, my lord, why are you accusing me of this? You can look in my house. There's nothing there. He didn't even have one piece of furniture in his house. The Lord said, no, you are hiding a great treasure, and someday I will reveal it to the world how you are cheating us. Years later, Lord Chaitanya came to the house of Kulavecha Sridhar. He only had one possession. There was an old, beaten-up iron pot at his door. It is said by Vrindavan Das Thakur that even the most desperate thief in the world would not even look at that pot. He used it to clean himself, to drink with. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after delivering the Chand Kazi, came to Sridhar's house, picked up that pot, iron, beaten up, old pot, and drank the water from it. Sridhar fell to the ground crying, now I am dead. Why you have drunk from my pot? I drink from that pot. I clean my body with that pot.
Sridhar fell to the ground, crying, "Now I am dead. Why, you have drunk from my pot? I drink from that pot. I clean my body with that pot." Lord Chaitanya revealed the treasure of Sridhar at that moment. He proclaimed with a loud voice that after many, many years in this life, today I have achieved pure devotional service to Krishna, because today I have drunk the nectar from the water of Sridhar's pot. On the roof of Sridhar's house, there was a vine. And every now and then, a pumpkin would grow from that vine. And every time that pumpkin grew, he would deliver it to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya would ecstatically partake of the nectar. In fact, at his own home, there was not a single meal that Sachi Devi cooked for the Lord that he would accept unless it was served on the banana leaf plates of Kolavecha Sridhar. The last meal that Lord Chaitanya took in his Navadvip Leela was the little pumpkin that grew from the roof of Kolavecha Sridhar. Then he went into his room to go to sleep. Gadadhar Pandit and Haridas Thakur, on that night, they slept just beside him. With only 2 hours remaining in the night, at about 3 o'clock in the morning, the Lord awoke and spoke, "I will go." Gadadhar Pandit and Haridas Thakur immediately awoke, and with folded palms they said, "My Lord, we will go with you. Let us go with you." The Lord said to them, "No, I will go alone." Vishnupriya was sound asleep. The Lord approached the front door of his house, and waiting there was Sachi Devi. Within the core of her heart, she understood that this is the day my child will leave me. She was standing there as motionless as a statue, unable to speak. Lord Chaitanya lovingly took her hand in his hand. He embraced his mother and told her that since my birth, my dear mother, you have protected me. Every single bit of happiness I experienced in my whole life was given to me by you. It is because of you, my mother, that I was allowed to study and read the holy scriptures. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is independent in his will. Sometimes he brings people together, and at other times he pushes them apart. My dear mother, please do not lament. I promise you this, that within 10 days I will return and you will see me. You are most dear to my heart." Speaking these words, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, took dust from his mother's lotus feet and placed it upon his head. Then he circumambulated his mother and asked her permission to leave. With tears pouring from her eyes, she nodded her head to give her blessings. Then quickly the Lord departed. The next day, all of the devotees took their bath in Ganga. And according to their tradition, the first thing they would do after their bath was come to offer their dandavat obeisances to Lord Gauranga. On this particular morning, they saw Sachi Devi standing as motionless as a statue, with profuse tears pouring from her eyes, just outside the door of her house. Srivas Pandit asked, "Mother Sachi, why are you in this condition? Why are you standing outside the door of your house? And why does your house look so empty today?" Sachi Devi could not speak a word. But seeing the confusion of the devotees, somehow or other, she spoke. She said, "You are the Lord's devotees. You have inherited all of his property. Please, you go in the house, and whatever belongs to my son, you take it. I will never again enter this house because my son has left me."